He's taller than I remembered, taller than me now.
Abel.
My voice is a near whisper as I pull my son into a hug, breathing him in, scared that he will leave before I've got a chance to let him know just how sorry I am. A year ago, I left Garden Temple without telling him, my sister wives, or my husband where I was going. I didn't trust any of them enough to let me leave without a fight, so I took my daughters and fled. But that decision meant leaving behind my 15-year-old son, a young man who looks more like his father than I remembered. He's grown so much in the last year. Abel's eyes are rimmed in red, and I wonder how he even got here. A bus, probably, with stolen money. You've been coming here other times? I ask, thinking of the glass Coke bottle on the counter, seeing a shadowy figure running from the back steps.
A few times, he says, nodding. But I kept second-guessing myself. Didn't know if Dad was right, if Garden Temple is the righteous way. I've been torn, Mom.
He runs a hand through his light hair. Why did you make yourself known now? I ask, looking down the dark street. Olive and Ruthie are at Luna's house.
I need to get them.
The temperature is dropping, and it feels like the snow that was predicted might actually fall. I'm still reeling from the day I've had. Elle's confession to murder. Me lifting the plaque, slamming it down over her head, her body unconscious, her blood spilled on the tiled floor. The police coming, taking reports. Boone's eyes on mine.
Can I call you?
He'd asked. I told him no, that I would reach out when there was a good time. Now Abel is here, the past at my doorstep, and I am glad I told Boone no. The timing isn't right. I doubt it ever will be.
I need your help, Mom,
Abel repeats.
Is it about Bethany?
I ask, my voice soft, scared to say or do anything that might have him retreating once more. The last thing I want is to see my son running after he just came back to me. His shoulders fall and my heart falls too. Bethany was his childhood best friend. They loved one another in their own ways. And I know, too, that losing the girl he cared so deeply for to his father is a pill too bitter to swallow.
You knew then that Dad's gonna marry her?
Lydia told me. I confess.
You've talked to her?
He furrows his eyebrows. A few times. I was worried your dad was looking for me. Abel scoffs.
He wasn't. He was too busy with Bethany. The ceremony is set for the end of the week.
I press my fingers to my temples, trying to focus. Tired is the tip of the iceberg. I've been running on fumes all week.
We'll figure this out, I promise,
I tell him, having no idea how to make good on my word. I pull my son into my arms, holding him tight, not wanting to let go. He's here now, and I'll fight to keep it that way. An hour later, I'm trying to stay alert after a long day. Police reports, an ambulance, blood on the floor, piecing together the deaths of my friends, it has worn me out in ways I haven't begun to process. With a pizza box on the table, everyone digs in. Thankfully, Luna, the neighbor, didn't press me for details about anything. She seemed to sense I was too tired to talk, to explain. She will see it all on the news soon enough. Now, I sit at the kitchen table with Olive, Ruthie, and Abel, my three children, here with me. Olive can't stop touching Abel's arm.
I can't believe you're really here.
Ruthie asks if this means she has to move into Olive's room so Abel can have hers. I don't know, sweetie, I tell her honestly. I want to say more, but the truth is, I don't know Abel's intentions. Tears keep falling down my cheeks, and Abel doesn't understand why I'm so weepy.